and he remembered how the chief naval officer, Ali Burke, A. took his customary pipe out of his jaw and repeated the same message: "A hard job, well done, should be commended." A. That the last man to speak, General Thomas White of the Air Force, A. ground out a comparable stream of the platitudes favored that morning in his gravelly voice, always filled with a certain air of authority. A. No one spoke up to object to the indiscriminate killing of 600 million people in a U.S. governmental-led, preemptive, first strike nuclear attack, Rubel wrote. Not any of the Joint Chiefs. Not the Secretary of Defense. Not John Rubel. Then, finally, one man did. General David M. Shoup, the commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps, a Marine awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in World War II. A.O. Shoup was a short man with rimless glasses who could have passed for a schoolteacher from a rural mid-American community, Eric Hald Rubel. He remembered how Shoup spoke in a calm, level voice when he offered a sole opposing view on the plan for nuclear war. That Shoup said, "A.O., all I can say is, any plan that murders 300 million Chinese when it might not even be their war is not a good plan. That is not the American way." The room fell silent, Rubel wrote. A.O. Nobody moved a muscle. A. Nobody seconded Shoup at EMS descent. No one else said anything. According to Rubel, everyone just looked the other way. It was decades later that Rubel confessed that this U.S. plan for nuclear war he participated in reminded him of the Nazis' ATM plans for genocide. In his memoir, he referred to a time in an earlier World War when a group of Third Reich officials met at a lakeside villa in a German town called Wannsee. It was there, over the course of a 90-minute meeting, that this group of allegedly rational men decided among themselves how to move forward with the genocide in a war they were presently winning, a world war, i.e. so as to ensure total victory for themselves. Millions of people needed to die, these Reich officials agreed. Millions of them. Finally, when John Rubel was in his late 80s, he articulated key similarities he perceived between the meeting in Wannsee and the meeting beneath the Ott Air Base in Nebraska. A.O. thought of the Wannsee Conference in January 1942, A. Rubel wrote, A.U. and an assemblage of German bureaucrats swiftly agreed on a program to exterminate every last Jew they could find anywhere in Europe, using methods of mass extermination more technologically efficient than the vans filled with exhaust gases, the mass shootings, or incineration in barns and synagogues used until then. A. Nearing the end of his life, Rubel decided to tell the world what he could not back in 1960. A.O. felt as if I were witnessing a comparable descent into the deep heart of darkness, a twilight underworld governed by disciplined, meticulous and energetically mindless groupthink aimed at wiping out half the people living on nearly one-third of the Earth at EMS surface. The final solution called for the extermination of all of Europe at EMS, millions of Jews and millions more people the Nazis considered subhuman. The plan for general nuclear war that John Rubel and his colleagues signed off on, the single integrated operational plan, called for the mass extermination of some 600 million Russians, Chinese, Poles, Czechs, Austrians, Yugoslavians, Hungarians, Romanians, Albanians, Bulgarians, Latvians, Estonians, Lithuanians, Finns, Swedes, Indians, Afghans, Japanese, and others that U.S. defense scientists calculated would be caught in the crosswinds. The final solution was enacted. The PSYOP never has been a not so far. But a similar, still classified plan exists today. Over the years, its name has changed. What began as the Single Integrated Operational Plan is now the Operational Plan, or OPPLAN, for the Nuclear Information Project, in consort with the Federation of American Scientists. Project Director Hans Christensen and Senior Researcher Matt Corder have identified the current operational plan as OPLAN 8012, and that it consists of a family of plans at EM directed against four identified adversaries, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. The number of nuclear weapons in the U.S. stockpile today is smaller than it was in 1960. But there still are 1,770 deployed nuclear weapons, a majority of which are on ready for launch status, with thousands more held in reserve, for a total inventory of more than 5,000 warheads. Russia has 1,674 deployed nuclear weapons, a majority of which are on ready-for-launch status, with thousands more in reserve, for a total inventory that is roughly the same size as the U.S.A. TMS. It is precisely the effects of this kind of mass extermination plan that nuclear war, a scenario, is based upon. A nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought, a President Ronald Reagan and Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev cautioned the world in a joint statement in 1985. Decades later, in 2022, President Joe Biden warned Americans that the prospect of nuclear Armageddon is at a terrifying new high. So here we are now, teetering at the edge, perhaps even closer than ever before. Be prepared for a nuclear explosion. A U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency, Part 2, the first 24 minutes, 4/10 of a second after launch. Pyongsong, North Korea. Spurs Satellite. U.S. Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin, nuclear war begins with a blip on a radar screen. It is 4:03 a.m. in North Korea, darkness before dawn. In a seemingly barren field 20 miles outside the capital, Pyongyang, a massive cloud of fire erupts just feet off the ground. Hot rocket exhaust spews from the tail end of North Korea TMS powerful intercontinental ballistic missile, an ICBM, as it launches off a 22-wheeled vehicle parked here in the dirt. The Hwasong-17, which analysts call a Earth monster, begins ascent. Hovering 22,300 miles above planet Earth, as if floating in space, a car-sized sensor from the U.S. Defense Department TMS Spurs, AS Sibasa satellite system spots the fire from the missile TMS hot rocket exhaust through the cloud cover. This happens within a few tenths of a second after ignition. Spurs is a group of satellites in the U.S. space-based infrared system of satellites, and because of how it moves, it seems to linger here in space roughly 1/10 of the way to the moon. By circling the world at precisely the same speed as the Earth turns, a satellite in geosynchronous orbit behaves as if suspended. Spurs alarms, ballistic missile launch, alert. 1 to 3 seconds after launch, Aerospace Data Facility of Colorado, Buckley Space Force Space Radoms, U.S. Space Force, Tech. Sergeant J.T. Armstrong, raw data from space streams down into the Aerospace Data Facility, a National Reconnaissance Office, NRO, mission ground station at Buckley Space Force Base in Aurora, Colorado. The existence of this installation, as well as its sister ground stations at Fort Belvoir in Virginia and at White Sands in New Mexico, was classified until 2008. TMS intelligence findings are among the most jealously guarded in the United States national security apparatus. Its motto is Super et Ultra above and beyond. Everything in this facility is classified. Every bit of data handled in this office is safeguarded by a labyrinth of highly classified protocols, many of them encrypted. Information here is often flagged AOEC, for exceptionally controlled information. TMS officers are highly trained, there is no room for mistakes. Aerospace data facilities are responsible for command and control of Defense Department reconnaissance satellites. They analyze, report, and disseminate information about incoming nuclear threats. Alarms wail. Ballistic missile launch, alert. Has every near TMS attention. Located in this facility are hundreds of National Security Agency personnel, who begin sending encrypted emergency messages to three nuclear command centers located inside three separate command bunkers, each one fortified underground in three different places: the Missile Warning Center, Cheyenne Mountain Complex, Colorado; the National Military Command Center, Pentagon, Washington, D.C.; the Global Operations Center, Hutt Air Force Base, Nebraska. The NRO mission ground station here in Colorado is the National TMS primary domestic downlink facility for all U.S. military satellites. Ayo, there are others, I says former Chief Scientist Doug Beeson of the US Air Force Space Command. This includes an organization known as DFSMAC, ADFSMAC are the Defense Special Missile and Aeronautics Center, a classified facility located inside NSA headquarters at Fort George G. Meade in Maryland. Everything that will happen in a nuclear war when it comes hinges upon what analysts at these ground stations interpret as happening in the moment. In this scenario, that means now. 4 seconds. Space. The SPURS geosync satellite over North Korea is roughly the size of a metro bus with 2 20-foot-long solar wings extended wide on either side. SPURS sensors have independent tasking capabilities, meaning they are able to scan wide swaths of territory and simultaneously fixate on a particular area of concern. Sensors so powerful they can see a single lighted match from 200 miles away. The space-based infrared system is America TMS 21st century version of Paul Revere. But it's RTMS, not the British who are coming, not on foot or on horseback. It is a nuclear-armed, intercontinental ballistic missile. The all-powerful, unstoppable, civilization-threatening ICBM. Sensors aboard the US satellite systems over North Korea perform their onboard signal processing, streaming colossal loads of early warning sensor data down to planet Earth. To think, the world ATMS first satellite was launched by the Russians in 1957, a beach-ballast-sized spaceship called Sputnik, with radio antennas and silver zinc batteries. Now, decades later, there are more than 9,000 high-powered, microprocessor-capable satellites circling the Earth, connecting people through telecommunication, aiding with navigation, forecasting the weather, entertaining with TV. SPURS does none of this, it keeps guard. Vigilantly waiting and watching, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for that initial, explosive spark of a nuclear threat. A spark indicating an action that cannot be undone. 5 seconds, Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado. Inside the Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado, some of the fastest computer systems in the world sort raw SPURS sensor data at a meteoric pace. They are busy measuring the dimensions of the launching ECMA TMS fiery bloom. The hot rocket exhaust on a short-range ballistic missile differs dramatically in plume brightness and size from that on the intercontinental ballistic missile, each being precisely measurable from space. Ballistic missile launches are not uncommon. They are also increasing at unprecedented speeds. In 2021, the US Space Force tracked 1,968 missile launches around the globe, a number that increased more than over 3.5 times in 2022, says Space Systems Commander TMS Colonel Brian DiNaro. As of September 2023, Russia continues to notify the US of its ballistic missile test launches. No one wants to start a nuclear war by accident. As a general rule, missile tests as significant as an ICBM launch are announced, usually to neighbors or through diplomatic channels, back channels, some other kind of channel, but almost always through a channel. The exception is North Korea. Between January 2022 and May 2023, North Korea test launched more than 100 missiles, including nuclear-capable weapons that can hit the continental United States. None of them were announced. Ayo, they want to maintain the element of surprise, intelligence analyst Joseph Bermudes Jr. tells us. Ayo, to reinforce propaganda that Theatma a mighty and powerful nation. A, which is why Defense Department satellites remain AEPAC'd over North Korea. To examine ICBM exhaust, starting in the first fraction of a second after launch. In Colorado, plume measurements confirm what analysts are seeing, an ICBM launch out of North Korea with a trajectory that is alarming. The missile is not heading into space, as it would be for a satellite launch, or toward the Sea of Japan, a commonplace trajectory in a demonstration of power test. All critical components of America TMS Colossal Early Warning System are now correlating the missile TMS trajectory and integrating data streams, working to characterize more precisely the exact nature of this event. Is it a provocative test or a nuclear attack? A hack or a hoax? At once, a vast worldwide network of US intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets begins churning out every manner of intelligence information in the arsenal. SIGINT, Signals Intelligence, IMINT, Image Intelligence, TECHINT, Technical Intelligence, JOINT, Geospatial Intelligence, MASINT, Measurement and Signature Intelligence, CYBINT, Cyber Intelligence, COMINT, Communications Intelligence, QMINT, Human Intelligence, and AZINT, Open Source Intelligence, all of it surging into the system in order to create an accurate picture of this detected event. Every fraction of a second matters. Every byte of information counts. 6 seconds, National Military Command Center, Pentagon. The Pentagon. U.S. Air Force, Staff Sergeant Brittany H. Chase. The National Military Command Center beneath the Pentagon serves as the primary command and control facility in a nuclear war. It may or may not to also be the target. In this scenario, it is 3:03 p.m. local time in Washington, D.C., March 30th, early spring. It has been 6 seconds since the ECMA TMS launch. Computer algorithms in the National Military Command Center have already begun predicting the missile TMS intercontinental trajectory, based on available data, but a localized target area cannot yet be accurately discerned. Is the missile headed for America? To Hawaii? Or is the target the continental United States? On any given day, at any given hour, there are hundreds of people working in this heavily fortified nuclear bunker beneath the Pentagon. Each of them performing duties related to three primary missions assigned to the National Military Command Center in its quest to ensure U.S. national security, the monitoring of military activity and events around the world, the watching of the world for nuclear weapons activity, the ability to respond to specific crises, as necessary, including the execution of the OPLAN, formerly the PSYOP, now, mere seconds after the confirmation of an ICBM launch out of North Korea, all eyes remain focused on a theater-size electronic screen mounted on the command center TMS wall. On a dot moving ominously across the screen, an avatar for a nuclear-armed Hwasong-17 ballistic missile. As J-3 Operations Directorate officers pour into the National Military Command Center, the J-2 Deputy Director of Intelligence works to get a North Korean official on the line. Among the joint staff officers in the room delivering commands are the J-32 Deputy Director for Intelligence, Surveillance and Reconnaissance, ISR, Operations, 2-star General, Flag Officer, the J-36 Deputy Director for Nuclear and Homeland Defense Operations, 1-star General, Flag Officer, the J-39 Deputy Director for Global Operations, 1-star General, Flag Officer. Not since 9/11 has everyone and their staff been in such an acute state of heightened alert. AOTRTMS hard to capture and explain the fog and friction of war, a Colonel John Brunderman says of his experiences in the bunker beneath the Pentagon on the 11th of September, a command post that A functions as the top of the pyramid for all U.S. command posts around the world. A classified facility that ensures A connectivity for the single integrated operational plan execution, worldwide situation monitoring, and crisis management. And yet, in the fog of war, uncertainty remains. A.O. When we're looking for things that are abnormal, A. Colonel Brunderman warns, A.E. A lot of things appear abnormal. A 15 seconds. Buckley Space Force Base, Colorado. Buckley Space Force Base, U.S. Space Force. In Colorado, combat pilots run toward fighter jets waiting on the tarmac, ready to take to the air. 15 seconds have passed since launch, and the ICBM has traveled far enough now that satellite sensors can determine its trajectory more precisely. The outlook is catastrophic. A worst-case scenario beyond comprehension. The Hwasong-17 is traveling toward the continental United States. Buckley Space Force Base is home to Space Delta IV, the missile warning unit that operates defense satellites in space as well as ground-based early warning radars around the world. Space Delta IV is in charge of reporting strategic warning information, via encrypted communications links, to three commands, NORADA North American Aerospace Defense Command. Each of these three commands has an early warning center located 80 miles down the road from the Space Force Base, inside the Cheyenne Mountain Compulsa America TMS legendary nuclear bunker, built inside a granite mountain during the Cold War. Everyone with Space Delta IV is hyper-focused on what appears to be an attacking intercontinental ballistic missile en route to the United States of America. The dreaded ICBM is unstoppable and nuclear-capable. Once launched, an ICBM cannot be recalled. Across NORAD, NORTHCOM, and STRATCOM, everyone waits for an over-the-horizon ground radar system to confirm that a nuclear-armed missile is indeed attacking the United States. This secondary corroboration is imperative. Given the missile ETMS trajectory, the first radar station to see the attacking missile as it comes over the horizon will be Clear Space Force Station in Alaska. Their state-of-the-art machine eyes remain focused on incoming threats from the Pacific. It will take another 8 minutes, or so for the radars in Alaska to see the incoming missile. To analysts here, this will feel like an excruciating amount of time as the clock ticks on an incoming nuclear missile threat. 20 seconds. Clear Space Force Station, Alaska. Clear Space Force Station, Alaska, long-range discrimination radar. U.S. Missile Defense Agency, Clear Space Force Station in Alaska is a remote military installation strategically positioned on the outskirts of Fairbanks. In late March, the average temperature hovers in the teens. Most of the snow has melted by now. At the center of the base stands a five-story tall search, track, and discrimination radar called the Long Range Discrimination Radar. This massive terrestrial sentinel is the newest component in a decades-old early warning radar system. Its job is to watch for missiles attacking the U.S. from the Pacific Theater, and to relay warnings to NORAD, NORTHCOM, and STRATCOM. From inside the structure, two massive, 60-foot diameter antennae scan the skies 24/7/365, in search of any indication of a missile attack. The radar system provides an extra set of keen eyes that will paint the picture of any threat coming our way, a NORADA TMS Lieutenant General A.C. Roper explains. At 20 seconds after launch, the Arctic Airmen and Guardians assigned to the Space Warning Squadrons here outside Fairbanks have received word from Space Delta IV of an attacking ICBM, but they see nothing. Not yet. No amount of advanced technology can help the ground radars to see over the horizon. It RTMS not physically possible. So the humans manning the systems must wait. The massive radar system will remain blind to an attacking ICBM until that missile is in its mid-course phase, when the nuclear payload in its nose cone will be perilously closer to striking the United States. Streams of data from ground radars feed to the command posts located thousands of miles across the North American continent, into the classified underground missile warning center inside Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado. For now, the long-range discrimination radar remains deceptively calm. 30 seconds. Cheyenne Mountain Complex, Colorado. Here in central Colorado, 2,000 feet below a triple-peaked mountain of igneous rock, alarms screech, lights flash, every computer generating a classified message to indicate the dreaded nuclear launch alert. 30 seconds have passed since launch. The Joint Operations Center in the Cheyenne Mountain Complex in 2023. North American Aerospace Defense Command, Thomas Paul. The Spurs satellites now have enough track data on the ICBM to determine it is heading toward a target somewhere on the east coast of the United States. Everyone in the Cheyenne Mountain Complex is alerted to the threat. Everyone is stunned by what is going on. sensor data from space and ground radar stations around the world inundate Missile Warning Center personnel, propelling them to task. Everyone is working to characterize the incoming threat. Everyone is seeing the same thing. One, single, incoming ICBM. Everyone is thinking the same thing. One nuclear missile dose in a TMT make any sense? If North Korea really is attacking the US with an ICBM, it will be considered a preemptive, nuclear first strike. If ordered by the president, the response from the US military will be the overwhelming and unconditional use of nuclear force. North Korea will be destroyed? Ayo, this kind of bolt out of the blue attack is characterized as a surprise attack, a sneak attack, a former Secretary of Defense William Perry tells us. A military tactic as old as warfare itself. But in this age of nuclear weapons, it is national suicide for any country to be as foolhardy as to preemptively strike the United States. All deterrence is predicated on the idea that a bolt out of the blue attack against a nuclear-armed superpower all but ensures the attacking nation's total and complete destruction. Surprise attacks change history. But a surprise attack is designed to decapitate. To cut off the head of the snake. For that, you send the motherload of weapons. You do not send one, single ICBM. Not against a country like the United States that has 1,770 nuclear weapons deployed, a majority of which are at the ready to launch. A01, single, attacking missile would not make sense, a former SecDef Perry adds. And that this kind of oddity AU would require additional information, before the president would be told. A with lights in the Cheyenne Mountain complex flashing red, with warning sirens screeching alarm, every person in this complex acts astrained. Feet, fingers, eyeballs, intuition, all human faculties moving in ballet-like consort with their machine partners, sorting sensor data into actionable intelligence. The Missile Warning Center here in Cheyenne Mountain is a collection point for missile launch data worldwide. The people here decide whether or not to categorize the information coming in as a risk to North America, and to the United States. Ayo, we are the brainstem that is pulling it all together, I says Cheyenne Mountain TMS Deputy Director Stephen Rose, Ayo correlating it, making sense of it, and passing it up to the brainer whether it's RTMS, 2, the commander at NORAD, NORTHCOM, or STRATCOM. The Cheyenne Mountain Complex is the brainstem that interprets data for the commanding generals and admirals to decide when, and if, to get the president on the line. The act of preparing a nuclear attack assessment for the commander-in-chief makes the Cheyenne Mountain Complex a the most critical part of the nervous system, and the most vulnerable, A. Rose warns. Physically, the facility can withstand direct impact from a 1 megaton thermonuclear bomb. But the vulnerability here is a theoretical one. Here, now, there is no room for error in judgment. No room for error of any kind. The fate of the country, and the planet, and its people, is on the line. 60 seconds. U.S. Strategic Command, STRATCOM, Headquarters, Nebraska. 60 seconds. Have passed. Beneath Hutt Air Force Base in Nebraska lies U.S. Strategic Command Headquarters, or STRATCOM, as it is known, a 916,000 square foot complex of bunkers, command centers, medical facilities, dining halls, sleep centers, power stations, tunnels, and more. This $1.3 billion nuclear command center, buried several stories underground, has also been designed to withstand a direct hit from a 1 megaton thermonuclear bomb. Of the more than 3,500 people who work here, all of them are now focused on the incoming nuclear threat. All classified alert systems sound. AOTH RTMS about 10 different ways to make sure that the commander knows that it's RTMS time to move, I says former STRATCOM Commander General John E. Hyten. Ballistic missile launch, alert. Electronic alert systems sound, screech, wail, blink, and vibrate all at once. It is impossible to work at Stratcom headquarters and not know an attacking ICBM is now presumed to be on its way to the United States. The person who matters most in this moment is the commander of US Strategic Commander, the Stratcom commander, as he or she is known as the National TMS most senior military commander responsible for nuclear operations. More than 150,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, guardians, and civilians follow the Stratcom commander at TMS orders. In the nuclear command and control system, the Stratcom commander advises the president, and then follows his direct orders. There is no human being in between these two individuals. Not the Secretary of Defense, not the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not the Vice President.